We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go.
Let's go.
We welcome you into another edition of Sports Open Line, second straight day that we get a full two-hour program. We don't get that to happen during the baseball season all that often, but back-to-back off days for the Cardinals and back-to-back full two-hour programs have you till 8 o'clock this evening. As always, if you want to join us, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. So some breaking news here over the last half hour or so, as Jeff Jones of the Belleville News Democrat has reported that the Cardinals are bringing Jordan Walker up and that he's going to join the active roster tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Jeff is the one who has reported this so far. We haven't seen a whole lot of confirmation or anything like that. Not that Jeff's got it wrong. I would bet that he's got it right. But just from a journalistic standpoint, Jeff's the only guy with this here at this point in time. But he has reported it. And as you might expect, it's made its way around the old interwebs and the social media with this report. So that's the report as of now. Jeff's got it, and we'll discuss that as we go throughout the course of the program. Second hour today will be the strike zone. We'll do nothing but baseball here in the first hour of the show. We're going to do a fair amount of NASCAR and soccer. We're going to hear an interview coming up in our next segment. Tom Ackerman, earlier today, did a Facebook Live with Kyle Larson leading into the Enjoy Illinois 300. That's going to be coming up at Worldwide Technology Raceway this weekend. We'll listen in to Tom's conversation with Kyle Larson. That's coming up in just a few moments. And then also later on in the program, it is time for our weekly conversation with one of the Apple TV Plus MLS Season Pass broadcasters. And we are going to have Ross Smith on, as he's going to be on the call for City SC's matchup this upcoming weekend on Apple TV Plus. So Ross is going to be with us at about 6:35. Then next hour, we will talk Cardinals minor leaguers with Brian Walton from the Cardinal Nation. And also we'll talk Pittsburgh Pirates baseball with John Parrotto, one of my favorite people to be able to talk to about things going on across the division. So he's going to be with us as well. But we lead with the breaking news of the moment. And when it comes to breaking news, if I'm not the one breaking it, I always want to make sure to give credit where credit is deserved. And again, Jeff Jones from the Belleville News Democrat is the guy who's reported this, and it has not been confirmed by the Cardinals at this point. So we take everything kind of with that grain of salt until all of a sudden a lot more reporters are starting to confirm it, until the Cardinals confirm it. But they're not going to do that until tomorrow because they're not playing today. So there's no real reason to do that. I'm trying to kind of wrap my hands around this decision and try to figure out what exactly has been accomplished during this period that Jordan Walker was down in the minor leagues. Now, people get locked in on the numbers, and not that you shouldn't, because at the end of the day, the numbers are what matter. You get judged on what your batting average is, not on what your hard hit percentage is, right? I get that. more often than not, not always, and this is one of the things that can be frustrating when you're doing evaluation with advanced numbers, more often than not, if you do this, this, and this when it comes to advanced numbers, that's going to result in this, this, and this in actual, in the baseball card type numbers. So when we evaluate Jordan, not when we evaluate Jordan Walker, when the Cardinals are evaluating Jordan Walker and the decision on when to bring him back up to the big leagues, and right now appears to be that moment, they are looking at the overall numbers, the overall body of work at AAA Memphis, which is okay. He appeared in 29 games at Memphis. He hit .239, 4 home runs, 16 RBIs, .746 OPS. None of those numbers jump off the page. Now, what is notable is over his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, over his last 11 games, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 multi-hit games. So 5 multi-hit games in his last 11 games. The problem with that, did I get that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of his last 11 games are multi-hit games. The problem with that is the other 5 are hitless games. So it's been very all or nothing for Jordan Walker here recently, at least when it comes to hitting. Hit a home run in yesterday's contest, a home run, 2 RBIs, went 2-for-4. He has 4 hits in his last 3 games. This is one of those situations where if you think Jordan Walker should be back with the team, you can spin the numbers in that direction. If you don't think it's time to call him up, you can spin the numbers in the other direction. So that's where some of the more advanced numbers start to matter. What is he doing in terms of driving the ball? What is he doing in terms of not hitting ground balls? What is he doing in terms of not striking out? Now, the strikeouts are still there. The strikeouts are very much still there. He has at least 1 strikeout in his last 5 games. Over those 5 games, he has 3, 4, 5, 6. He has 8 strikeouts in his last 5 games. Now, if he's hitting and he's hitting for power and he's driving the ball and he's getting extra base hits, you live with the strikeouts. That's something that you totally live with. This is a Cardinals team that has not gotten the production from the outfield that they thought they were going to get. There's been a lot of injuries in the outfield, whether it has been Tyler O'Neill, whether it's been Dylan Carlson. Now Lars Nootbaar is out. That was kind of the starting group that you thought you were probably going to see if Jordan Walker wasn't on the roster. And now Walker comes back. And if Walker's coming back, there has to be a belief that he's going to be able to stay back, because it's the exact conversation that we had before the season got started. We might as well just take shows that we were doing leading up into opening day and replaying our conversations about Jordan Walker, because the idea behind it was, if he's not able to play every day or play a lot or play almost every day, what's really the point in having him up? He's got to be playing. So when it got to a point earlier this year when he was still on the big league roster, but he wasn't playing because they were trying to fix some things in his swing, specifically him hitting too many ground balls and him not having very good strike zone discipline. When they were trying to work through those things and it got to a point where he wasn't in the lineup as he worked through those things, it just made more sense to get him down to Memphis. So I wouldn't say that I'm shocked by this. It's kind of been in the back of my head over the last couple of days that, you know what, maybe, just maybe, we're going to see Jordan Walker return to the team come Friday. It just kind of been swimming around in there. And I would then look at the numbers and I would look at the inconsistencies and I'd look at all the offers recently. And I would say, they're not going to do it. They're still waiting for him to find a little bit more consistency. But sometimes that consistency that I talk about, the consistency that they're looking for, isn't about coming up with hits. It's about, again, the stuff that they asked him to work on, the driving the ball, the not striking out on pitches outside the zone. You know, it's two different kind of worlds of strikeouts. If he's striking out on good pitches inside the zone and it's good pitches to swing at, that's one thing. If the plate discipline isn't there and he's swinging on pitches that are clearly outside the zone, which he was doing when he was with the Cardinals originally, that is something else to work on. I would also say this. This is my last point on this. And during the 7 o'clock hour, we'll certainly take your thoughts on this. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. There's been a lot made of the Cardinals asking him to fix some things. And there's been some people out there in the land of social media that thinks the Cardinals don't know what they're doing when it comes to that, and they shouldn't have been asking them to do those things. And there's not a whole lot of difference between what the Cardinals asked him to do going down to Memphis and trying not to hit as many ground balls and then the strike zone stuff, the things that we've been talking about. There's not a whole lot of difference between that and the Cardinals instructing Nolan Gorman to work on some very specific things when the season came to an end last year. The difference being happening in season versus out of season. But Nolan Gorman got to the big leagues last year. There were some deficiencies that were identified, and they told him to go fix them. And so far, very small sample size, but so far, we have seen him do just that. So Walker gets to the big leagues. There are some deficiencies that were identified, were not at the end of the season, so they asked him to go to Memphis and to fix them. And now once he does return, which might be tomorrow, according to this report, we'll see whether or not it looks different than the first time around. Again, if you want to join us, you can do so, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call, that's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. We'll get back to this coming up in just a few moments. But up next, we're going to switch gears. We'll talk some NASCAR as the Enjoy Illinois 300 is going to be coming up this weekend at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Tom Ackerman got the chance to talk with Kyle Larson. We'll hear that conversation in just a moment. Moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A Graybar Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, 314-436-7900. That's how you call and text, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Big weekend coming up at Worldwide Technology Raceway, as we're going to see the NASCAR Cup Series and also the trucks in action. Activity is going to begin coming up tomorrow. We're going to see some garage hours and some practicing and some qualifying, and then the trucks, they are going to be in action coming up on Saturday with the Toyota 200, and the Cup Series, they'll run coming up on Sunday with the Enjoy Illinois 300. A fan event has been going on at Ballpark Village here over the last few hours. Tom Ackerman has been over there. Lots of NASCAR activity. It's really, really cool how they come into a market like this, and they do a lot. And, you know, we were talking yesterday with Kenny Wallace, and just the fact that even though last year was the first year for this event, the fact that these NASCAR drivers have already really fallen in love with this race and fallen in love with St. Louis is really cool, and it continues to just be a credit to the sports fans here in this region. And we have such a great racing history throughout the region, and so many of these guys have connections to this region. It just makes sense that we would have a Cup Series race, and Cup Series race, the second edition of it coming up on Sunday, and certainly excited for that. Just a little while ago, Tom Ackerman did a Facebook Live with Kyle Larson, really one of the top drivers walking the face of the earth, and we wanted to listen in to just a little bit of that. This is Tom Ackerman with a NASCAR Cup Series driver, Kyle Larson.
Okay, we are live at Ballpark Village. We all know Ballpark Village well. It is NASCAR Fan Fest, and it'd be great if I could find a driver. That would be amazing. Enjoy Illinois 300. Oh, wait a minute. Holy cow, look who I found. The 2021 NASCAR Cup Series champion. This is Kyle Larson. Kyle, wait, let me put my shades on.
We gotta look cool.
So we did this together up on stage last year. In fact, you were the first person that talked to us when we did the press conference here at Ballpark Village. That was a few years ago, that the Cup Series was coming to St. Louis. You were gracious enough to do that. Remind me of how you felt at that time, that St. Louis was going to land a race and you were going to be able to bring everybody here.
Yeah, I mean, I've raced quite a bit, I feel like, in this region, so was obviously excited to get my chance to race on the NASCAR track, or, you know, the track over there. And I never ran, you know, Xfinity or trucks or anything like that. So, love going to new places. Knew that the crowd would be big and the atmosphere would be awesome too. So, yeah, lived up to the hype. It was a great, great event last year, and definitely look forward to getting back out there this weekend.
Really was a lot of fun. You know, we've had so much fun promoting this race and talking about it. It does live up to the hype, and coming back a second time, knowing that you're going to have another crowd that's tracked towards a sellout, I'm sure it's exciting. What are your impressions of the track as you got to see those tight turns 1 and 2?
Yeah, it's definitely a unique place. You know, it's got super long straightaways. I mean, my son and I rode bicycles around it yesterday, and I was just like, God, I forgot how long these straightaways are. So, yeah, it's just it's fun to race different places, and you get the downshift like that on an oval is different than normal, so it's fun.
What about this season? How has it gone for you so far?
We've been super fast. Have won a couple point series races, and won the All-Star race a couple weeks ago. So we've had a lot of opportunities to win other races. Just had a little bit of misfortune and you know, some bad execution on my end on a couple of them. But ultimately, you know, our car has been really fast, so I know we'll have a lot of shots to win this year.
What about in terms of just looking at your career as a whole? You know, I always have introduced you as one of the greatest drivers on the planet. You do so many different things, and certainly your affinity for dirt racing is legendary. I know you're busy. This isn't all you're going to be doing this weekend.
Yeah, no, I ran last night at Tri-City in the sprint car, and we won. My son's racing there tonight on the little track in a junior sprint. I'll race a dirt late model back there at Tri-City tomorrow night, and then, yeah, the Cup race Sunday. So always fun to come here this weekend.
You ever think back to when you were a youngster? You were, what, 7 years old when you first started driving karts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess, yeah, I get to kind of relive it now with my son racing the same stuff that I grew up doing. So, I still go back to the same tracks that I grew up racing at. So, yeah, it's cool, you know, stay busy racing and getting back to see the old friends.
Your son's got to be, what, 9 now?
8 and a half.
8 and a half, okay. And then you just had, you and Caitlin just had a baby boy?
Yeah, Cooper, he's about... Yeah, he's 5 months old now, so yeah, he's doing good.
Well, that's 3 kids for you two, and what's it like being a dad, and how do you balance the family life and certainly a long season?
Yeah, it's hectic. It's hectic for sure, but we have, you know, great support. My wife does a fantastic job too, so I'm gone for a lot of it racing, but, you know, it's fun to have 3 crazy children and get to bring them on the road with you every now and then.
It's really a lot of fun to have you here. Thank you again for doing this. Kyle Larson, one of the greatest drivers on the planet. Great to be with you. Welcome back to St. Louis.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
That was Kyle Larson. Tom Ackerman talking to him on Facebook Live earlier today. Kyle Larson. Tom's not just trying to, you know, kiss backside or anything when he says that Larson is one of the best drivers in the world. He absolutely is. Right now, he's fourth in the playoff rankings or the playoff projection. Guy that from a Vegas standpoint has been considered the favorite to win the Cup Series championship this year. Larson's as good as they get currently driving, so fun to be able to see him coming up this weekend. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. We're going to switch gears again. We'll talk some soccer here in just a moment. City SC game set for another big weekend coming up. Certainly, they are playing better here recently, coming up with some more victories. And we are going to be joined in just a few moments by Ross Smith. He's going to be on the call for MLS season pass this upcoming weekend. And we'll talk with him and get a preview of this weekend's match. That's next. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We're back at it here on a Thursday night, full two-hour edition of the program as we take you till 8 o'clock this evening. Coming up on Saturday, another home match for City SC, their third straight game at City Park as they are going to match up against Houston. And on the call on Apple TV Plus and MLS Season Pass will be Ross Smith, and he joins us right now on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Ross, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, let's get into what's going to be going on this weekend. First off, from kind of a general standpoint, City SC had taken a little bit of a lull, and then over their last two matches, they have outscored their opponents 7-1. They had the 4-0 win against Kansas City and then a good 3-1 win against Vancouver. As you've watched them, have you seen a big change in what they've done here over the last few weeks?
I have. It's a great question. I think, you know, first and foremost, with St. Louis, the way that they really prey on opponents with their energy, with their enthusiasm, their competitiveness. I think to that with Kansas City, we're overwhelmed. And then Vancouver, at times we're overwhelmed. I thought Vancouver put up a good fight, but ultimately it's the wearing down. So that's what's been consistent. What's been different is I think the change of somewhat, not the system, but the players in the system. And with Vasilev playing higher up on the pitch with Blum coming back in and really showing why he was brought in. That for me has been two, I shouldn't say strokes of genius, because Vasilev, it was known before he came in with his time with Miami and obviously across from Aston Villa that he was made to be an attacking player, but Bradley Carnell made him more of a holding center midfielder. And I thought that was a stroke of genius as well. But we chatted to Vasilev a few weeks ago and he said, I want goals. I want to score, but you know what? I'm making this my position and I enjoy it. Well, now that he's gone further up the pitch and Blum's come in, I think those two moves have just reinvigorated the team. Leuven dropping deeper and all of this without your top striker. You know, that you've kicked on again and you knew that there was going to be a test. You knew there was going to be a dip at some point in the season. They took the dip and the way that they found themselves again in a different look is so impressive.
Yeah, did they kind of have to learn how to play without Klaus?
Yeah, they do and they don't want to at the same time. Because Klaus is just such a special striker. And trying to compare him to, for my time, it's been about 10, 11 years now I've been on the broadcast side covering the league. I can't think of another striker to compare him to because he can hurt you in so many different ways. He can put his back into the chest of center backs and battle with them. He's willing to do that sort of physical work. He can run the channels. Like we saw, I was covering the game the first match of the year against Austin, when he's run the channel and then he's taken on Kip Keller and scored a beautiful goal, a little bit of finesse at the end. His hold-up play is terrific. It's, okay, what do you do? I was a former center back myself, Matt, and I think I have no idea, you know, if I just had to deal with one of those attributes I'd struggle with, let alone the different areas that he can offer. But to have to learn to play without him, and I think, you know, what they've done is pretty impressive. And Nico up front, you know, I think it's been a good time for him to kind of take it on his shoulders to be the star man. And what he showed against Kansas City, I mean, my goodness, he just ran the back line ragged. He ran what I think are two solid center backs for Kansas City. He just pulled them all over with his pace, directness, and quality. So I think that's only going to help in the bigger picture. And I think he loves playing with Klaus. He said so many words. So I think when you have a guy who's been able to stand alone and say, I can be the star on my own, but you know what? It's a better team when both of us are in the team. I just think it helps everything.
One of the biggest stories here has been a really young guy and Miguel Perez, who just graduated high school, yet here he is playing for this team, which is remarkable. We see this on occasion, but anytime a 17, 18-year-old is playing at this level and having success, it's a really special thing. And then for it to be happening in his hometown as he's in high school, I mean, when you see this story, you got to just be amazed by it.
You need that attachment, don't you? And to have a player who lives and breathes is the blood of that city to score a goal like that, I think the best pictures that from the production side could have cut to was Bradley Carnell and seeing him red in the eye as soon as Miguel Perez scored that goal. And that, for me, caught me. I got a lump in my throat because what he felt as well, I imagine so many people in the stadium, certainly Miguel Perez, and I listened to his post game, and I guess he just graduated.
Yeah.
He was so modest, so straightforward, so stoic with it all, which from what I understand is him as a person, it's what I see as a player. The guy just gets stuck in, and he's not overawed by situations. And there's been time, he's raw, of course he's raw. But I feel like his attitude gets him through it at times. And the attitude to what he has, the maturity, is where you hope, not just, you know, for him and St. Louis, it's where you hope the game goes with players. Because you talk about the modern-day player, and I think, you know, that can have a little dig at that statement sometimes, saying the modern-day player is maybe soft, looks for excuses. He is the total opposite. He's the old-school, what I would hope to be, new modern-day type player.
We're talking with Ross Smith. He'll be the analyst on the MLS Season Pass Apple TV Plus broadcast coming up this upcoming weekend. Excuse my ignorance. There's so many of you guys broadcasting. I can't keep track of when you're in and when you're out. Have you done? Have you been into St. Louis yet? Have you seen City Park yet?
I have. Oh, Matt, you know, it's a head spinner. And to that, when my wife asked me today, where are you going this weekend? It took me a second because that's just one situation, let alone what's happening, which is phenomenal as well, and to be able to experience all these different grounds. I've been there once. I was there for the Minnesota game, so hopefully I'm not a voodoo. I've covered St. Louis in person three times, the Austin game, first game of the season, Minnesota at City Park that I was there for, and then Dallas, the game that was postponed, and then I'll be covering the final 40 minutes of it next week. So, but City Park, man, it's jumping there.
What is your feeling when you walk in and you see these fans of an expansion team in such a great soccer market like St. Louis finally getting the opportunity to have an MLS team?
Yeah, it's real. That's the first thing that stands out to me. It's real. It's felt in the bones of the fans. And, you know, there's other clubs where fans will go out, they'll enjoy it, but you get the sense that, you know, if the team loses, they walk out the gates and they're okay. And it's okay. Well, where do we turn our attention to next? Whereas what you guys have going there is it's felt. If you win, it's carried on and it's joyous celebrations. If you lose, then people are unhappy. And I, after that game against Minnesota, I walked across the road and I can't believe I'm blanking on the pub, but I had such a terrific time getting to meet some fans and some of you local broadcasters there at the pub across the road that has all the memorabilia, the history, the Hall of Fame, and I really wanted to capture what the history of it all was. And I've got a book. I'm searching for it quickly, Matt. That that one of the heads of the Hall of Fame there in St. Louis. So I've got it in front of me, The Soccer Made in St. Louis, and it's by David Lang. Anyways. That to go across where you could finish the game and go across for a pint and be able to dissect it, either commiserate or celebrate with your fellow supporters. I mean, there's not many places like that in the league.
I totally off topic, but these games are on Apple TV Plus. So, did you watch the Ted Lasso finale? Are you a Ted Lasso guy?
No, you know, I was. First season, I was massively into it. I thought they just captured something so perfect. And I think in the category, I was so turned off by the second season. I thought they lost it. I know that's not everybody's opinion. And I tried the first couple episodes of the third. So I haven't got back into it. I thought it lost its magic and I actually got frustrated at it. So I apologize if I'm not on the same wavelength as you, but from my understanding, it's really good.
Yeah, it is. I would rank it. I probably wasn't as turned off by the second season as much of you, but I would rank the first season as the best, the third season as the second best, and then the second season I did not like, as kind of like you said. I liked it. It just didn't have, I think the way you voiced it, it didn't have the magic. There were some really good moments in season three. The finale was pretty good. So I'm a Ted Lasso guy. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'll have to come back around. And I know that's this part of the country and everything as well. It maybe hits somewhat home. So I'll have to. All right, you've got me. I'll have to put it back on and watch through the seasons again.
I won't tell the people at Apple TV Plus that you lost it with it.
I know, right? We can edit that out, right? I think we're live, but I hope.
Well, Ross, I really appreciate it. Have a great call this upcoming weekend. Enjoy being back here in St. Louis, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you again in the future.
Absolutely. I hope I get to meet you in person, Matt. Thanks
All right.
for having me on.
You bet. Thank you. There's Ross Smith joining us here on the program. I was a little I love Ted Lasso. I love the show Ted Lasso. I'm not alone in that. That's not a unique thing. Kevin Wheeler and I were having a discussion the other day because Kevin never got into it. And he said, well, people said, you need it's a soccer show. It's not a soccer show. It's soccer is kind of a background of it, but if you like uplifting type shows, that's the way I am. I like watching stuff that, hits on the heartstrings, that can evoke emotion, things like that. I can be a little bit of a softy sometimes. If you like stuff like that, then I think Ted Lasso is solid. But I was a little sad. My wife and I, we watched the Ted Lasso finale last night. We go on walks a lot in the evening when we're able to. We'll just walk around our neighborhood. So last night we watched the Ted Lasso finale, and then we went on a walk. And I felt a little bit empty because it felt, now there's a chance that world might continue in some form or fashion, but there's also a chance that that's going to be it. And it was one of those shows. If you're like me, when you really get into a TV show, you really connect with the characters inside of that show. And even though it's not real, I think it's good to connect with characters. And we had very much connected with the characters in Ted Lasso. And then it was over and you just kind of feel empty. And that's how I felt last night walking around. Felt a little empty that Ted Lasso was over. But that's another reason to have Apple TV Plus, because you get to watch Ted Lasso. And there's three really good seasons. First season's the best. Third season, second best. Second season, it's not quite what the first and third seasons were. All right, we'll take a break. We've got a lot more to get to, including the breaking news of the day with Jordan Walker. Reportedly, according to a Jeff Jones report, he is headed back to St. Louis. If you have thoughts on it, you can share them. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. MattPauley on air. It's a Graybar Sports Open line on KMOX.
America's sports voice, KMOX.
Back at it on a Thursday evening at Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name is Matt Paul. If you'd like to be with us, you can do so by calling or texting or tweeting. If you want to call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Again, the news of the last really 90 minutes or so, Jeff Jones of the Belleville News Democrat reporting that Jordan Walker is going to be returning to St. Louis and will be with the club tomorrow. If you have thoughts on that, if you're excited about that, or if you think he still needs to be down at Memphis based off his numbers, would love to hear from you. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. Just based off the tone of Cardinals fans over the last 2 weeks, I would guess most Cardinals fans are pretty happy that Jordan Walker is set to return, according to this report. None of the other media members, none of the other beat writers have officially confirmed this, and the Cardinals have not confirmed it either, but nobody has said it's not true either. So if Walker, if this Jeff Jones report was not true, we would have heard at some point, somehow, some way, the message probably would have been sent in the other direction that that's not true. Walker is not in the lineup tonight for Memphis. Hit a home run, had two RBIs in yesterday's game. So right now, all indications are that he is going to be back with the big league team. I said this before the season got started. I thought if the Cardinals were going to start the season with him on the big league roster, the last thing you wanted to do was to yo-yo him between the big leagues and AAA. I thought that if he was going to be on the big league roster on opening day, the Cardinals had to be confident that he was going to be able to stick there. Now he didn't. He did not stick there. They saw some things that they wanted him to work on, and they did not want him to work on that at the major league level. So they sent him down to AAA, and he made his AAA debut after he made his major league debut. So now that's already happened. So it was already the situation where if you had everything to do over again, maybe he doesn't make the team out of spring training. If you know exactly the way that it's all going to play out, then you probably start him at AAA and let him go from there. But that's you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Nobody can do that. So you did what you thought was the best thing to do. It didn't work out at first. He goes down. The numbers had been trending back in a better direction. He was really struggling. He was hitting below 200 as recently as May 19th. So from May 19th to yesterday, so basically over the course of 12 days, is that right? 12 days from May 19th to May 31st, he raised his average from 187 to 239. Nobody's going to the Hall of Fame on a 239 average. I get that. But the fact that he was at 187 less than 2 weeks ago and he was able to lift his average during that period, he had a 602 OPS on May 19th. He's at 746 overall. So the numbers are pretty good. In fact, let's do his numbers from May 19th on, and we'll tell you exactly what he has done since that period. So from May 19th on, Jordan Walker's numbers, that's an 11-game period. He's hitting .333, three home runs, 10 RBIs, an OPS above 1,000. That's a very good OPS. 11 games, small sample size, I get it, but the numbers are there. The numbers are there over those 11 games, and the Cardinals have evidently seen enough to be able to feel comfortable to bring him up if the report is that's out there is correct. So now the thing is, he's going to be in the lineup every day. And what's that going to look like? There's going to be some roster. There's always the domino effect that goes along with this. What is it going to look like from a roster standpoint with him returning? Because you're going to have to clear a spot off the 26-man roster. Now, they are carrying three catchers. So if you want to send Barrera back down, that's probably the easiest decision to be able to make. We don't know what's going to be going on with Lars Nootbaar. Nootbaar got a little bit banged up, and then he missed the last game, and he was going to be reevaluated before tomorrow. Maybe that's connected to that. If the Cardinals have made the decision that they're going to need to put Nootbaar on the injured list and they were going to need an outfielder, this is the good time to bring Jordan Walker up. I talked about this with Kevin Wheeler during our 5:15 sportscast today. Moises Gomez has been really good recently. He's been hitting a ton of home runs. He's been swinging the hotter bat than Jordan Walker at AAA. So if you were looking for a short-term boost to that group, Gomez might have been the answer. The fact that they're going with Jordan Walker here, that just tells me that, again, the point that I'm trying to get to, back what we said before, you don't want to be yo-yoing him between the big leagues and AAA. So once again, the Cardinals, I'm sure, are in a position that if they are recalling Walker, that they feel very confident that he is going to now be able to stick with them at the big league level. And that doesn't mean he's going to have nothing but success either. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be moments where he goes into a slump. The question is, are they going to feel comfortable with him working through that slump at the big league level? Or is it going to be a scenario where they feel like they have to send him back down to AAA? Time will tell. All right, that's it for hour number one of the program. And hour number two, we do nothing but baseball. It is the Strike Zone. We do that every Thursday night during the 7 o'clock hour. That's coming up next. Second day of 2 days off for the Cardinals. They're back at tomorrow evening when they match up against the Pirates. Jack Flaherty will be on the mound, and we'll have the game for you right here on KMOX. Hour two of Sports Open Line is next here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.